All right. Well, that actually does make a lot of sense.
Yes.
Because this week we are bringing one of our this is a long-standing tradition. As far as we've had the podcast, we've done an annual, like, favorites episode.
Mm-hmm.
So looking back at the year, picking out which episodes we really felt were big deals for us and also valuable for you, our listeners. And we usually round up a nice little variety.
Yeah, and honestly, this could have been a several-hour-long podcast because we did almost 60 episodes this year.
That's crazy. So, on top of our first year as parents.
Yes, I know. So pat ourselves on the back.
I feel really
Thank
accomplished.
You.
Let's pat each other on the
Thank
back.
Thank you.
Good job, you. Yeah.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you stopping by. As always, we really value your feedback and your great opinions. And by the way, that wonderful little obnoxious voice behind me is my co-host.
What? You could have not said that. You could have thought it was like a track.
What?
You know, it was so authentic.
I think it's just obnoxious.
People would have been mistaken. You know, they thought I would have put that in post.
I literally am trying to introduce things, and you are just, you know, jingling on here.
It's because I think it was appropriate for this episode.
Okay, well, for those of us who weren't quite able to establish what you were singing there,
humming,
doodling.
Yes, doodling.
Doodling.
No,
better than diddling.
Let's just stop there, okay? I was humming, "These are a few of my favorite things." That's what this theme for this episode is going to be.
Okay.
Essentially.
All right, well, that actually does make a lot of sense.
Yes.
Because this week we are bringing this is a long-standing tradition. As far as we've had the podcast, we've done an annual, like, favorites episode.
Mm-hmm.
So looking back at the year, picking out which episodes we really felt were big deals for us and also valuable for you, our listeners. And we usually round up a nice little variety.
Yeah, and honestly, this could have been a several-hour-long podcast because we did almost 60 episodes this year.
That's crazy. So, on top of our first year as parents.
Yes, I know. So pat ourselves on the back.
I feel really
Thank
accomplished.
You.
Let's pat each other on the
Thank
back.
Thank you.
Good job, you.
Yes, and if you guys want to pat us on the back, please go to iTunes or the Apple Podcast app and give us a review and rating.
It's very smooth.
Yeah, that's what we call a segue. All right, so speaking of segues, let's get into this look back episode, our faves episode. We're going to start it off talking about tradition. This episode, our very first favorite things episode, is a tradition that we've been doing every year the podcast being in existence.
Mm-hmm.
This I'm talking about, of course, is the Girl Scout Cookie Challenge.
Yes.
This year was the third annual Girl Scout Cookie Challenge, and even though it was a tradition, it was kind of a new tradition because...
Well, it was different because I actually took on the challenge.
There we go.
So
perfect.
So you have previously taken it on.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 years was you got to enjoy the cookies and burn them off.
Yes.
This was my first year doing it. And this one was one of my favorites because this was the first time I've ever done one of these kinds of challenges, which was obviously really fun and kind of crazy and intense, trying to broadcast as you, like, try to burn off calories live.
Yeah.
But it was also a really big milestone for me because this episode was March 4th of 2018, and that was the first time I'd actually done, like, a high-intensity impact kind of workout since probably, I don't know, since I was probably about, like, 5-6 months pregnant.
Right.
So probably...
Almost a year?
No, yeah.
Sorry. Apparently, I don't know how long.
It was probably about a year. It was probably little bit longer than a year.
When you're 5 or 6 months pregnant,
That was like June.
Right. June of 2016. No, 2017.
Either way, it had been a really long time.
I don't do math, folks.
my brain is not functioning that well for math. Mm-hmm. I am sipping my tea here, winding down mm-hmm. the day. But yeah, that was probably one of my favorites. So I think you all can listen to our little snippet here with some highlights.
Mm-hmm. Check out how Shannon did in the third annual Girl Scout Cookie Challenge. Shannon is now doing some hip openers.
I'm on a bike, so I gotta get a...
She's gotta warm up the lower body. She's doing some movements that good thing I'm not putting video of. I don't think she would enjoy
that. They're hip circles,
hip circles, sorry. So as we said, our very first year of the Girl Scout Cookie Challenge, I did, I think, squat jumps and battle ropes. So I mixed it up in between went as fast as I could with the battle ropes, as long as I could, and then I went to jump squats or squat jumps, okay? What is it, squat jumps or jump squats? Or is it either one fine?
I don't know.
Let us know what you think. Jump squats or squat jumps?
I call them squat jumps.
I think squat jumps is better. Jump squats? Yeah, squat jumps. I like squat jumps better.
I don't know. Whatever.
Where are we at right now? What is your...
Alright, so far I've only burned 40 calories.
40 calories, alright. So she is getting close to one cookie. 70 is one cookie, the calories associated with one cookie. So now she's, as you hear, she's strapping on her cycling shoes, okay? And now she's jumping on the bike. As we said, guys, we've done a couple different, we've done one on-bike review of the Peloton cycle way back in one of the early episodes of Addicted to Fitness. So go back, we'll put the link in the show notes. Make sure you check out that previous episode if you need to learn more about the Peloton cycle. Hopefully, I know it's becoming super popular. They're getting a lot of kind of marketing behind it. I've heard even other podcasts are now promoting.
Tim Ferriss has like a promo in his.
Yep, and I know Joe Rogan does it too. So they are it's certainly becoming a much more popular piece of exercise equipment. We love ours. So you hear that, Peloton? We've been fans for a long time. And this is the second year we've used the Peloton in our Girl Scout Cookie Challenge. And I'm just going to take a picture so we can post it and show Peloton. Hey, Peloton, look.
All right, I'm at a cadence of about 68, 70. Got resistance 53.
Uh-huh.
So it makes my output about 165, 170.
Nice.
My heart rate's at 162.
Oh, wow, you're way up there. Yeah, you're getting close to zone 4.
I like to come out of the gate strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not an endurance athlete.
So I'm looking at the clock right now. We're going on probably approaching 9 minutes or so.
Yep, 9.5.
There you go, 9.5. All right.
80 calories.
80 calories, all right. Now, but it's going to go a lot faster now. Now that you got your heart rate up and now it's burning, it is going to, the second half, it takes a while to get up there.
So you're saying the first 100?
They're the hardest.
Hardest.
Yeah. It'll start, once you start getting it, it'll start burning off a lot faster. You'll see. That's one of the main things. We always talk about it. It sounds so simple, but if you want to stop eating sugary sweets and, you know, processed foods, you just can't buy them. You just got to stay away from them at the grocery store. Yep. Make your grocery list, do some healthy meal planning, and then stick to the list when you go to the grocery store. Another thing that we've recommended before, you don't go hungry.
209.
209.
210.
210, she did it.
19:28.
19 minutes, 28 seconds for 210 calories.
Yep. Whew.
Nice work, babe.
High five across
Boom.
The room.
Boom, high five across the room. Well, we're going to shoot a little bit more exclusive content right now. You guys, make sure you head to the Addicted to Fitness
Podcast
Facebook page. Bum, bum, bum. That's what it looks like when you finish the Girl Scout Cookie Challenge, the third annual. Oh, she's so happy. Good work, babe.
Woo-hoo.
All right, so as you guys heard, Shannon did an awesome job.
Crushed it.
Third annual Girl Scout Cookie Challenge.
Okay, and it was, I made it.
Yes, and it was actually the second time we used our beloved Peloton cycle, as you guys kind of heard us allude to in that snippet.
Yeah.
We've actually just did a recent review, kind of an updated review of the Peloton cycle, which you guys can check out. We highly recommend you check out because... I think it's probably, we are big endorsers of the Peloton cycle. You know, yes. You guys are probably seeing the commercials a lot lately, but we were in the first. We were on the forefront of the Peloton cycle.
I know, we were pre-trendy fad.
Right. Yeah, so speaking about, I don't know about trendy fads, but we go from a podcast that we've done 3 years running to a first of its kind podcast we did this year was actually an on the road podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded it during a trip up to Maryland to visit my family, our family, what am I saying? Our family, where also it was Ella's first trip on an airplane.
Yes, that was a big big damn deal, yeah. Basically.
So not only did we record while we were on our trip, but we talked about some pertinent travel-related topics, especially about how to stay healthy while mm-hmm. traveling and how to keep your six-month-old healthy while traveling.
Yeah, and I mean, it was springtime, so we were super hyper-conscious of just how bad like cold season was. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we had Ella in the car when we were recording.
Yeah.
And somehow she was wonderful. I think she was sleeping at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was just like kind of miraculous how it all came together, but mm-hmm. it also sounded pretty darn good.
Yeah. So the original air date was April 8th. So you guys will talk. I think you'll hear some Easter references in there because we were home for Easter. So we really enjoy sharing now Ella gets incorporated into our episodes. This is another reason why this is one of our favorites. So check it out. You guys know that, unfortunately, when you travel, you're much more susceptible to catching some sort of cold or illness.
Yes, and for multiple reasons.
Yes. And I know one of the reasons I actually post about on the ET Tampa Instagram, was dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a couple reports that I looked up recently talked about, and we've talked about this in a past podcast, that for like a cross-country trip or a 10-hour flight, you can lose up to a liter and a half of water for males and 2 liters of water for females.
That's insane.
For a 10-hour flight. You know, ours wasn't nearly that long, but no. We made sure we stocked up on the biggest waters we could find.
We both drank a liter of water while we were on that plane. And that's actually like the first time I've done that in a really long time, because usually I have to pee like every 5-10 minutes. But with a baby, I just don't care. Like, you just learn to hold it and you just learn to like put them first. But, yeah, we drank that liter of water each, and I feel like it helped. Like, I definitely felt less groggy and fuzzy and sort of worn down after getting off the plane.
Right, and another thing we did, which was, you know, I think it was important, especially with Ella, who is much more susceptible for catching something right now, and since she's in it, I mean, she's out of infant. She's not an infant anymore?
She's
infant?
A baby now. Well, baby? Yeah, she's a baby now. I think after...
Is that the technical phase that she's in? Baby infant phase?
Well, yeah. Is that how she's goes? A baby.
I don't know. I'm asking. I'm not questioning. But, yeah, so she's a little bit more, you know, no, I shouldn't say a little bit more. Her immune system isn't quite up to our standards.
It's still building,
So we, once we got on the plane, we wiped everything down with, like, antibacterial lotion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All the armrests and the tray tables and the
we
the,
know
the
she likes to grab things.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it's also just kind of a decent best practice for people that are not babies.
Yes.
That just want to do a double check. I'm pretty sure that like part of the cleanup for like airplanes is that they wipe down things
with
like an antibacterial kind of.
Okay.
I'm not positive on that.
It should be.
We took Southwest Airlines, so who knows? Maybe we'll throw out the question to them on Twitter and see if they respond with an answer. But yeah, we wiped everything down because, you know, I mean, people are coughing. It's not just people that are sick grabbing, you know, bits and pieces.
the air has got things in it. It's settling on every surface you can see. I mean, it's just a good bet if you're really worried or if you're traveling with someone especially susceptible.
Yeah, especially and for somebody who likes to put everything in their mouth at this stage in their life. Yeah, so that's...
Thank gosh for baby saliva actually, like, forms a coating and a barrier around the things that it gets on. So, like, when they put something in their mouth, the baby saliva actually serves as a sort of shield for germs. So I didn't know that until I read about it. Felt a little bit better.
Interesting. Well, that's good. And as you guys can probably hear by my voice, I don't have the sultry tones that I normally do.
Or maybe they're more sultry.
Oh, maybe they are. Maybe I got the deep voice.
Husky.
Yeah, husky voice. That's right. I'm fighting a head cold right now, so it was very important for me to do the things like stay hydrated and a couple things I'm really doing as far as like nutrition goes is I'm staying away from inflammatory foods. Specifically sugar and dairy. Those things I'm trying to minimize, trying to eat food that's high in antioxidants and protein too to help me stay fuller longer. And so I've been doing a lot of that, a lot of avocados, you know, which is also healthy fats, but avocados, you know, different types of protein or, you know, fish, chicken, meat, whatever that may be. And then, but just, you know, staying away from any of the refined carbs or even the dairy, which I enjoy. You know, I'm staying away even from yogurt, you know, which I like. And, you know, it does have beneficial bacteria, but right now it might just be a little bit, you know, might hurt more than help. So
dairy does cause, in most people, a little bit excess mucus.
Yeah.
So, and you've already got lots of stuff going on with the head cold or whatever. You kind of don't want to add to that.
Yep, so a lot of meat and veggies right now, just trying to make sure, and then, you know, fruit that's high in antioxidants. So that's what I'm trying to do, along with supplementation. So we wanted to talk about that real quick. We're actually almost to our destination, so we were trying to wrap up this first leg of our on-the-road podcast before we got there. So
yeah, we are recording this in the car. That's how dedicated we are.
Yeah.
We're actually recording with little lapel mics in our car on our way to the store.
So if you were hearing any blinker noise like you do now or any any horns, that's probably because we're in the car.
All right, guys, hopefully there was a couple of tidbits in there about some maybe travel tips on ways you guys can stay healthy while traveling that you can use for your next upcoming trip. You know, it is the holidays, so I'm sure you guys are, a lot of people listening are traveling this season.
Oh, heck
so,
yeah.
You guys, make sure you listen to that entire episode to get all of our suggestions. Once again, we kind of transition into another episode type that I really... I feel like we kind of expanded on this year and really sought out health professionals in the field and actually got some people reaching out to us is when we our interview episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So these were things that I've always – this was an area I wanted to take the podcast in or kind of incorporate into the podcast since I first started it. So I was really happy we were able to do more of those this year. This one in particular was really special to me because I got to interview someone who is basically the founder of a big part of my training regimen, not only personally but what I share with clients, and that's stick mobility. So this episode is with the co-founder, Dennis Dunphy, and it was actually during the weekend I took the stick mobility certification course. So I was really happy about how it turned out. Dennis gave a lot of really great information and not just all specific talking about stick mobility, but really talking about the importance of movement. So I definitely want you guys to check this out and let us know what you think. And maybe if you have another suggestion for an interview we should do in 2019, throw it our way too.
Yeah.
A little over 4 years ago, Mitch Taylor, myself, and Neil Valera, we went to go see a doctor, Arthur Fagenholtz, over in Santa Cruz, California, and he's a chiropractor who was teaching stick yoga with rattan sticks. And it was interesting. After the first hour, the three of us looked at each other and went, "Holy crap! This is crazy! Like, this is insane!" And he was teaching some joint mobs, a lot of stretching with the stick, but there was no system to it. And the strength training component of it wasn't there. Hmm. And we knew, we're like, there is so much he's missing out on. So we became friends and we talked to him, and he said, hey, develop your own stuff, do what you guys do. I'm a chiropractor, you guys are strength coaches, movement coaches. You guys see things from a different point of view, and that's how we started developing stick mobility. So we bring a lot more strength training protocol, as you've experienced
right.
this weekend, into mobility work. Mm-hmm. Because we view mobility as you have to be strong in all positions you get to. So that's where we use the stick to help incorporate that. So when you get up in the morning and you yawn and you stretch, next time you do that, pay attention to what you're actually feeling when you do that. That's a radiation. Mm-hmm. You're recruiting those muscle fibers. That's the reason why you're getting into a position that you normally otherwise wouldn't get into mm-hmm. in that process. Your dog and your cat do the same thing when they wake up. When they get up out of from laying down, they also irradiate their tissues. Mm-hmm. So that is, for a lot of people, they don't know how to generate that organically on their own. So we use the stick as a tool to give them that feedback. So that way when we have them push or pull on the stick, then that activates the tissues that we're looking to recruit force out of. And then intrinsically they finally feel that. It's that kinesthetic feedback. And then that way when you say, hey, irradiate your glutes, and then they'll be like, oh, I know what he's actually talking about now. Whereas before, you might as well, for a lot of people, you might as well just be talking Latin to them because yes. they don't understand what you're asking for. The body's adaptation skills are fantastic. And people talk about the body adapts to the stimuluses that we give it, but it also adapts to the stimuluses that we don't give it. And that's a big thing that people don't look at. So is when the majority of the workforce today is sedentary and sitting down in front of a computer, that's a stimulus that is lacking. Movement is the lacking stimulus. So people that when you're using a mouse, your scapula is just glued to your rib cage. So the tissues just get used to being locked in there. And then when you're asking these tissues to all of a sudden start to move around, they just don't identify with it. You don't know how to access them, and they just don't have the neuromuscular control to go through that range of motion. So when we go to talk about doing pull-ups, they don't even understand the prerequisites, right? So we don't understand how to access the lats or control the scapula, the protraction, retraction, elevation, depression of that scapula, and then yet we expect to want to learn how to do a pull-up and do it relatively safely. Mm-hmm. So once again, it's meeting the prerequisites, something that you'll hear Dr. Spina talk about in functional range conditioning. So it's in essence, we would never take, it'd be illogical to take a five-year-old child and put that child in a 12th grade calculus class. If you said that to most people, they would be like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
But from a movement standpoint, we're doing the same thing across the industry. We're asking a bunch of five-year-olds, as far as movement capabilities, to do 12th grade stuff.
That was our quick little snippet of my conversation with Dennis Dunphy. There's a lot more useful stuff that we talked about in the entire episode. Make sure you check it out and check out all of our interviews, because we did a ton this year. So I'm really proud about how that turned out, because just to give you guys a little bit of behind-the-scenes information, it almost didn't work out.
Yeah, I kind of giggle a little bit as I was listening to this podcast episode, like thinking back, because this took place after yours, but during the rest of our Stomach Apocalypse 2018.
Yeah.
Which was our weekend of hell, known as the neurovirus, which for anybody who has ever had that, oh my gosh,
yeah.
Like totally, totally feel your pain. I don't think I've ever experienced anything quite like that.
You might
that.
Have to do an episode on that.
Holy moly. But yeah, you somehow freaking rocked through, went to your stick mobility training, and also did a podcast interview. I still don't know how you did that.
Both those 2 days, the first day.
I was just trying to live.
Yeah. after I got home the first night, it just hit me like a freight train, and shakes and chills and, you know, obviously, you know, I don't have to describe the stomach discomfort, but it was there. Anyways, and then, like, it reached out to everyone. You,
Oh, yeah.
My parents were in town that weekend. They got it. Your parents took literally care of Ella.
Everybody single got it. Person that came into contact with our household within a probably 48 to 72 hour time period got flattened with this thing. And so, yeah, you managed to still record this podcast in the midst of training for it.
Yes. And now I'm very proud of that one on many, many fronts.
Yeah. That one's going down to books.
Yes, exactly. Big star by that one. Another one that I think in kind of our, the one we're going to wrap up our favorite things. And like I said, guys, we had at least 60 episodes. I was kind of looking back at it almost, and we're right at that 60 mark this year, is the Hidden Sugars and Keto Diet Overview episode, because those are two topics that I think are super important, and especially keto is somewhat trendy this year, too.
Yeah, a lot of information out there.
Right.
I feel like we did a good job really breaking it down and pulling out those key nuggets of info around both, like, the hidden sugars, like, just how prevalent, like, how sneaky.
Oh, the names. I mean, some of the names, it's crazy.
Yeah, some of that stuff. And then, giving just some really usable information and resources for keto.
Right, exactly. Kind of finding a little bit more of detail. So you just think, oh, I just eat fat. It's an Atkins diet, essentially, right?
Right.
So it gets a little bit more detailed than just that. So, guys, check it out, and hopefully you'll learn something.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all, like, somewhat accustomed to hearing and seeing, like, how nutrition labels are set up and everything. Mm-hmm. But we're starting to see a lot more products say, like, oh, low sugar or, you know, no sugar or whatnot. Yeah. And you look at the label, and maybe from just reading the first several ingredients, you don't really see anything that...
You don't see the word sugar.
...puts up a flag that says, oh, that's a lie. But was reading an article from Well and Good, just like one of my daily media outlets for wellness and stuff. And they had a series of industry talks. Uh-huh. And the CEO of Siggy's, the yogurt company, he talked about how he's noticed that some food brands are burying the sugar in their labels on purpose. So really, like, he was kind of saying that it's deceiving consumers. And then in a later discussion at the same event, a nutritionist said that since the ingredient lists are structured from greatest to least amount of product by weight, they said that, yes, if they break up the fact that they are using multiple types of sugar, they don't have to list sugar near the top.
Right.
So they can kind of, like, lump it in different ways. And dear goodness, there's a crap ton of sugars that can be on a list. Mm-hmm. So you can, like, what are some that come to mind when you think of you're aware of?
High fructose corn syrup.
Yep.
Then we have the sucrose, which is table sugar. Then barley malt is one that people aren't normally used to.
Think about that.
Dextrose, maltose, that toast you hear at the end, that kind of the suffix, right?
Yeah.
That's the end. Yeah. The toast, that usually means a type of sugar. Rice syrup, brown rice syrup, that's one I see all the time on, like, protein bars and stuff.
Yeah, and then you get into the tals, the erythritols.
Yeah, those are usually sugar alcohols.
Sugar alcohols, yep. But it's still a sweetener.
Right. With the sugar alcohols,
different effects and things like that.
They're still doing the research of the sugar alcohols to see what kind of glycemic response.
Yeah, some of them
are
pretty low.
Yeah, but they do have their problems, because some of them still, they cause digestive problems. So, but there's, I'm trying to think, I don't know if tapioca starch is one or not, but molasses, maple syrup, that's a sugar, honey's sugar, agave nectar.
Stevia.
Good. Stevia, right now that's still considered a zero calorie, but it is a sweetener for sure. But those are some
monk
fruit, yep. That's another one, too.
Very See, we could. This could be a whole podcast. Yeah. We just sit here and list, like, sweeteners and sugars.
For sure. Absolutely. So, I mean, we've talked to a couple people. The first interview we already ever had on the podcast with Vinny Tortorich, a guy who, you know, coined the NSNG lifestyle, no sugars, no grain. He's essentially in ketosis most of the time. You know, yeah. We talked about in his book about how he had to go on that diet and because he was believed that it was his best chance of fighting cancer.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of research that shows how beneficial the ketogenic diet can be to conditions like that.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because this process that you're trying to get your body into, either carbohydrates or protein can actually knock you out of this ketogenic state. So a ketogenic diet is one that really limits carbohydrates and to a lesser extent, even protein, to get your body into that state of ketosis where you're burning fat for energy. Mm-hmm. And this is not a state that, like, you're forcing your body into either. This is actually something that your body is in. Like, mm-hmm. It goes into this naturally. And when I was reading about this, I was really interested because humans, like, very easily go into this, whereas animals don't. So it's one of those very unique aspects to humans is that we've got this amazing, like, switch that our bodies can flip based off of, you know, internal and external conditions, mm-hmm. that if it needs to, it can flip into ketosis and actually start burning fat as your energy source. So kind of some instances where this happens is, like, extreme physical exertion. Now, this is probably, like, think, what am I thinking? Like, we used to do this workout. Triathlons. No, not triathlons. The heavy lifting.
Oh, CrossFit.
CrossFit. There we go. CrossFit athletes. This is, like, a really probably easy thing for those, any kind of, like, major extreme physical fitness, yeah. But
so endurance athletes too.
Yeah. Where you are seriously depleting, around half of your stored muscle glycogen, your body flips into ketosis, mm-hmm. To try to start using that fat supply, but also fasting for a significant time period, probably like for most people are probably 24 hours. And then, of course, starvation or a significant restriction in your total caloric intake, mm-hmm. is going to flip that switch because your body basically says, okay, I need to use what I got,
right,
in order to keep myself going.
Yep.
The benefits of this, I think, is super, super compelling.
And this is from the article from Mark's Daily Apple, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And this will be linked on our show notes for sure.
Yeah. Now, this is going to go into lots of, like, additional links from, mm-hmm. his article. So we're just going to link to his. And you can dive in there on any of these that you're interested in. There are probably additional links referring out with, mm-hmm. like, proving the studies that, yeah. support each of these claims. So I'll let you jump on benefits first.
Right. And a lot of them kind of start with the neural function of how beneficial it can be to your brain health. They've had studies that linked the utilizing of ketone bodies to improve brain conditions, including Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, bipolar disorder, and many psychiatric disorders. A Spanish ketogenic diet, keto with wine, basically.
So, like that.
I know Shannon loves that one. Cured many people of metabolic syndrome and improved health markers of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Interesting. Especially with the wine, but I guess I know we've talked about resveratrol and some other thing benefits wine, of wine.
Wine can be magic.
And then in cancer patients, and we've already kind of mentioned this, mm-hmm. with Vinny Tortorich, a keto diet preserves lean mass and causes fat loss. And mild cognitive decline. Ketogenic diet has also been shown to help improve memory, and then also type 1 diabetics who experience reduced cognitive function when their blood sugar is low, increasing ketone production via medium-chain triglycerides can restore that. And you know what a One more time. Do you know what a medium chain triglyceride is?
Yes.
What?
Coconut oil.
Boom. Yep. And we talked about that way back when freaking, I think it was American Heart Association tried to say there's no benefits to coconut oil.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think we know what to say to them.
Wrong. All right. So we talked about, we just mentioned it, the keto bodies, how it's so beneficial to brain health and thinking, clearing your, kind of being more sharp too with brain health. And I think a lot of people, they kind of suffer through that and they don't even realize it. You know, the normal standard American diet is keeping us all in a fog. And you don't know how much more productive you can be, how much clearer you can think.
Yeah.
When you're operating more on ketones than glucose.
Yeah, and I mean, I think like one of the side effects or like the feelings that you get is like extreme happiness. Like you get this elevated mood and clarity.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with this. Like, that is one of the effects that you feel. And of course that, like, when you think about it, of course that has to do with diet.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't it? Like, so many things are tied back to that. And one of, like, the places that this all started was for kids that were having seizures, that mm-hmm. had epilepsy, like chronic epilepsy. And they found that it's the inflammation in the brain, which is caused by what we eat,
yep.
that was causing a lot of this to happen. And that changing the diet significantly reduced the inflammation and therefore drastically cutting back on the seizures.
Yeah.
And that is like when you talk about like people that use this to manage chronic illnesses like cancer, a lot of it has to do with the inflammation aspect.
All right, folks, that is it right there. Those are four just little selections of kind of different variety of the episodes.
Very
we got
to
this.
Difficult to choose.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, we narrowed it down because, like I said, we don't want to inundate you with too much information. We still want to leave you wanting more, so you'll go yes. out and investigate this whole past year of episodes that we did.
But we are very interested to know, what are your favorite episodes? Please leave us a review in either the Apple Podcasts
mm-hmm.
or iTunes,
yep.
or let us know on social media. Tell us what episode really was like jiving with you
yep.
this year.
Yeah. We've already got some. We're gonna hit the ground running in 2019. We already got plans for our first couple episodes. We already got some interviews scheduled.
Yeah,
in the bank.
I might be doing my very first solo interview.
Boom!
Which is it's not just am I doing the solo interview, but it's the fact that I'm doing it with someone that I have had the opportunity to learn from and is like a teacher of mine. And I think is super incredible smart, mm-hmm. doing super amazing things here in our Tampa Bay area. So there's just lots of that I'm excited about. But we're working on a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe also some ways to reward and thank our wonderful listeners
yeah.
in 2019. Just mm-hmm. something to stay tuned for.
For sure.
And, more developments as we always work to get better for you guys.
Yeah. So we've got one more episode before the end of the year. It's going to be a quick hitter because it's going to be coming out on Christmas Eve. So
let's be honest, it's okay if you guys don't tune in on the day for that one.
Mm-hmm. So, but we're going to get it out to you, get a little quick hitter, guys, of useful health information. But also, we want to make sure you guys realize that we're there with you during the holiday season.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And please be safe, be healthy as you possibly can, but also have a wonderfully happy holiday
mm-hmm.
season.
You got anything else for them this week?
That's it.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks. You want to try that again?
I'll just keep it. Let's keep going.
Yeah, this is great. One of my favorite things.
It's very distracting, though, as I'm introing. Can you wait a little?
Yes.
A little bit?
Yes.
Like, I literally forgot what I was doing, so I'm like, what the fuck?